Hello, everyone. My name is Xiwei Li. And today, I'm going to talk about our work that we optimize the design of the KVN ARM hypervisor and improve its performance by roughly an order of magnitude. And this is the work I've done at Columbia with Christopher Dell and Jason Lee. So virtualization is an essential technology for servers and cloud computing platforms. And it supports running multiple virtual machines on a single piece of hardware and enable efficient partitioning and utilization of hardware resources. And despite its success in mobile devices, ARM is making push into the server market and provides hardware support for virtualization, a very important workload in server market. And in fact, software vendors such as Microsoft has recently announced their plan to deploy their cloud computing systems on ARM-based server hardware. And thus, as the importance of virtualization on ARM is growing, it's important to provide good virtualization performance in ARM-based hypervisors. Before I go into detail about how we actually implement our hypervisor to better support ARM architecture, I want to give you some background about how virtualization works. So virtual machines are enabled by inserting a hypervisor to run on top of the hardware and provide the virtual machine interfaces. And just like the native case that the OS kernel has to manage the hardware resources to support applications, the hypervisor is also responsible of managing resources, including CPUs, memory, and I/O devices, and partition the hardware into multiple isolated virtual machines. And there are actually two ways that people adopted to build their hypervisors. The first one is called the type 1 hypervisor. And in the hypervisor design here, the hypervisor is a thin software and has smaller TCB comparing to the operating system. And the downside for this type of the hypervisor is the hypervisor itself has to re-implement a lot of the features in order to manage the hardware resources. And the alternative type of the design for hypervisor is called the type 2 hypervisor, which the hypervisor runs inside an OS kernel and reuses the kernel's functionality to provide the virtualization support. But the downside is it has larger TCB because it inherits the TCB from the OS kernel. And when it comes to the real hypervisor, Xen is implemented as a type 1 hypervisor, while KVM is implemented as a type 2 hypervisor. And in Xen, instead of re-implementing all the features to support I/O devices inside the hypervisor, it actually runs the Linux kernel inside a privileged virtual machine called DOM0 and reuse the device drivers in the Linux kernel to provide I/O virtualization support to the virtual machine. And on the other hand, KVM is a hypervisor that's integrated with the Linux kernel and reuse the existing functionality already there in the Linux kernel to provide the virtualization support. So one interesting insight we found from either type of the hypervisor design is they both rely on a full operating system to support hypervisor functionality. And then in KVM's case, they both run a Linux kernel and use its functionality to provide support as in CPU scheduling, memory management, and I/O device support. And here we call this full operating system the hypervisor rely on, the hypervisor OS kernel. So here's an overview of our work. We found that other than the performance in the hypervisor itself, the cost and transitions from the VM to the hypervisor OS kernel to do tasks including IOs and resource management is also very critical to virtualization performance. And so in our work, we addressed to the challenge in running the hypervisor OS kernel in the most popular hypervisor on ARM, KVM, and we improve its performance by taking advantage of the unique features in ARM virtualization support. And we better support the execution of its hypervisor OS kernel, Linux kernel. And modern hypervisors leverage hardware virtualization support in their design. But different architectures provided different features to support virtualization. And this results to the different way and different approach in the hypervisor to run their hypervisor OS kernel. And in x86, as an example in Intel VMX, it multiplexes different execution contexts to the existing CPU modes, including kernel mode and user mode. And it provides two operations for execution. One is the root operation, and the other is called the non-root operation. And root operation is designed by the hardware to run the hypervisor and allow the software running within the operation to have full access to the hardware. And on the other hand, the non-root operation is designed by the hardware to run virtual machines, and so the software running in there have only access to virtual hardware. And when it comes to an example of the hypervisor that run on the hardware with x86 virtualization support, in KVM as an example, it runs both its hypervisor OS kernel, the Linux kernel, and the virtual machines kernel in the same kernel mode, but within two different execution contexts. And the switches between the kernel running with different execution context is done by the hardware. And the hardware multiplexes the correct execution context for either of the kernel to run. And ARM provides a very different virtualization support other than x86. So instead of multiplexing the execution context for the software running in the kernel mode and user mode, ARM extends the CPU mode hierarchy by adding an extra mode called the hypervisor mode, which also called the EO2 mode. And ARM allows the software running in EO2 to multiplex the states they need to run the software with different execution contexts in the same kernel mode and user mode. So when KVM, also as an example, running on the ARM virtualization hardware, SX86, it also runs its hypervisor OS kernel and the virtual machine kernel on the same kernel mode. But instead of relying on the hardware to multiplex the execution context for itself, it installs a software called KVM Lowvisor that runs in the hypervisor mode and requests for the software to multiplex the right execution context for either of the kernel. And KVM makes sure that the transition between the virtual machine's kernel and the hypervisor OS kernel, in this case Linux kernel, has to go through its software layer so that it can correctly multiplex the execution state for the software. And this results to a problem called like sharing kernel mode state, because both the hypervisor OS kernel and the virtual machine's OS kernel run on the same kernel mode. And we found that multiplexing the kernel mode state is an expensive operation. And to do so in the software is even more expensive than doing so in the hardware. So ARM has more overhead than x86 in the switching from the virtual machine to the hypervisor OS kernel. So an intuitive design to overcome this problem is to avoid the multiplexing of the kernel mode. However, this is not possible on the x86 hardware because the hardware does not provide an extra mode to run hypervisor. But this is possible on ARM virtualization hardware because there is an extra CPU mode called the EO2 mode that allows the software to run something in there. In this case, our intuitive solution is to run the hypervisor OS kernel and the hypervisor in KVM in the EO2 hypervisor mode on ARM. However, there are challenges in doing so, because EO2 is a separate CPU mode from the kernel mode, and it has its different page table format and limited capabilities comparing to the kernel mode EO1. For example, the EO2 mode has only one page table based registers, while the kernel mode in ARM has access to two page table registers. And therefore, the existing kernel, for example, the Linux kernel, cannot run directly in EO2 without further modification. And therefore, we talked to ARM about the problem in supporting kernel in EO2 and all the performance challenges in KV and ARM. So they extended their hardware and provide a support called virtualization host extension, VHE. And with the support from the hardware, the kernel that was written to run in the kernel mode can run directly on the hypervisor mode without any modification. However, the biggest problem is the hardware is not available yet. So before the hardware is available, The approach we use to optimize KVM is to modify the Linux kernel and overcome all the limitations presented in the CPU in the hypervisor mode and avoid kernel mode multiplexing. And as I mentioned earlier, to leverage the design of avoiding kernel mode multiplexing in KVM, we have to propose a new architecture in KVM and leverage the benefit that the kernel mode is now used by the virtual machine only. And by doing so, for example, we don't have to save and restore the kernel mode registers whenever the virtual machine's kernel switches to the hypervisor kernel. And also, another benefit we can gain by running the entire KVM in the hypervisor mode is because we now only have to operate in one single CPU mode and one address space, unlike before, we have to operate in both the kernel mode and hypervisor mode across different address spaces and use complicated data structure to communicate between the software layers. Now we can allow the hypervisor OS kernel and the hypervisor to program the EO2 hardware directly. And thus, we reduce the complexity in the code base of KVM and, as a result, improve its performance. And to measure the performance in our KVM redesign, we run some workloads in the ARM server class hardware. And as a baseline for comparison, we also run the same workloads on x86 hardware. And we make sure that the hardware specification we use across the x86 and ARM server hardware is as similar as possible. And for running the workloads, we actually run them in a VM hosted by KVM and also a bare metal environment just for comparing the virtualization overhead. And in both bare metal and the virtual machines case, we run them with four-way SMP, and both has 12 gigabytes of RAM in each of the environment. And for the virtual machine, we allow the VM to have direct access to the network interface device. And first of all, we measure the performance called the hypercall benchmark. And in here, we measure the cost spent on a no-op hypercall, which the VM traps to the hypervisor and return from the hypervisor immediately. And this is the base cost for hypervisor to serve virtual machines. And on KVM, this includes the cost of transitioning between the VM to the hypervisor OS kernel, because the hypercall is handled in KVM in the hypervisor OS kernel. And we measure this no-op hypercall benchmark in three different configurations, baseline KVM ARM without any improvement, and KVM ARM with our redesign and optimization, and also KVM on x86. And as shown here, the cost spent on the x86 configuration is not cheap. Even though we can multiplex the shared kernel mode state in hardware, it still takes more than 1,000 CPU cycle to do so. And another interesting thing to note is baseline KVM ARM has much worse performance than KVM on x86 because of the overhead in multiplexing the shared kernel mode state in software is expensive. And therefore, in our design, we run the hypervisor and its OS kernel in a separate mode in the hypervisor mode and avoid the kernel mode multiplexing problem, and we achieve much better performance comparing to baseline KVM. And in here, it shows that we can achieve the improvement in performance for this VM to hypervisor transition by roughly an order of magnitude. And other than the base cost and virtualization, we measure some real application workloads. And this includes some CPU intensive workloads like kernel compile, and also some SMP workloads such as Hackbench. And finally, some networking related benchmarks, including NetPerf, Apache, and Memcached. And the graph here shows the application results of our hypervisors. And in here, in the y-axis, we normalize the virtualization performance to bare metal execution and show the overhead presented by virtualization. And so in here, lower number means better performance. And as we can see, the optimization we've done in KVM improved the performance in all of the benchmark because of the reduction in the VM to hypervisor switching costs that we can achieve by not sharing the kernel mode. And another thing to notice is for the performance in the baseline KVM arm that has the most overhead to start with, we can achieve the more improvement with our optimization. And as an example, in memcached, we can achieve more than 50% of improvement over baseline KVM arm with our optimization. Okay, so here is to conclude our work. In our work, we optimized the design and performance of KVM arm by leveraging the unique feature presented in ARM virtualization support. And we leveraged the feature to run both the hypervisor OS kernel and the hypervisor, in this case, the KVM and the Linux kernel, in a separate mode from the virtual machine called hypervisor mode. And we avoid sharing the kernel mode and avoid multiplexing the shared kernel mode state and improve the performance over baseline KVM arm by roughly an order of magnitude. And we can achieve even faster performance than KVM on x86 because x86 still has to multiplex the shared kernel mode state in hardware. And we think this provides an interesting insight for future architecture design for virtualization support that may be providing a new mode to run both the hypervisor OS kernel and the hypervisor is an interesting option. And second, our work benefits directly from future ARM hardware with VHE support. So VHE support allowed the hypervisor OS kernel to run directly in the hypervisor mode without modification. So our optimization in KVM ARM based on this running hypervisor OS in a separate mode can directly be applied on the kernel that runs with VHE support. And finally, many of our proposed changes have been merged into the mainline Linux kernel, and we expect more patches to be integrated with the mainline kernel in the future. So that's it for my presentation. It's time for questions.
Hi, Amothi, ETH Zurich. So nice work. You put up a table that showed the overhead of doing a hypercall on the three different sort of systems that you compared. Could you say how much of that is the actual pure hardware cost of executing the VM exit or whatever it is, and how much of that is the software overhead at both ends? And then it's a related question to that is how much of the overhead on ARM is due to the particular microarchitecture of AMD Seattle, right? I mean, if you compare it with a more sort of performant server chip like Thunder X right. Or an X-Gene, is that likely to change? I mean, is it significant?
So I think the cost in x86 is just gonna be there because it's like a hardware fixed multiplexing.
So those 1400 cycles was simply executing the VM exit?
Yeah, I think okay. So.
So how about an ARM?
For ARM, it's mostly like the software cost, right? Because ARM, you also have to spend the cost for trapping from the mode, like from the kernel mode to the hypervisor mode, right? That's a pure hardware cost. And aside from that, it's like CPU, it's like your software's cost. Like you have to context switch the states, for example, save restore the registers used by either of the software running in the kernel mode. And these are the software's cost. But on x86, like the cost for switching from root to non-root is like the fixed cost that you have to pay.
Okay, so I mean, do you know what is the pure hardware cost of doing the trap on ARM?
I think.
I think ARM, we
have measured that in the previous paper, but it's like if I remember right, it's not much, like for it's like 100-200 cycles or less.
Okay.
I have a question. If you had the freedom to redesign both the virtualization hardware and software interfaces from scratch, what sort of organization would you ideally want?
Right. So for that question, I think what I mentioned earlier. So the hardware should propose a design that's flexible, right? So when it proposes a new mode to run the hypervisor, right, it has to propose like a little bit more flexibility for the software designer to run, you know, other software, like, for example, operating system inside the same hypervisor mode. So, you know, it has more flexibility in this design. So, for example, we can, you know, in our case, in KVM ARM, we run it, the Linux and hypervisor, the KVM in a separate mode, and achieve better performance than, you know, running across different modes. So in that case, yeah, I think that's my answer to the question.